காலேஜ் டே ஆஃப் டாக்டர் அழகப்பச்சாரியார் டீச்சர்ஸ் ட்ரைனிங் காலேஜ் செலிப்ரேட்டட் ஆன் 18 February 1955 ப்ரொசைடட் ஓவர் பை ஜஸ்டிஸ் சார் எஸ் வரதாச்சாரியார் ஃபெடரல் கோர்ட் ஆஃப் இந்தியா. டாக்டர் அழகப்பச்சாரியார் வெல்கம் ஜஸ்டிஸ் சார் எஸ் வரதாச்சாரியார்.
And drink. I deem it a very great privilege indeed to have been given this great opportunity of welcoming our distinguished guest Sri Bhagacharya in the midst of our campus indeed. I would like to say first that this is not the first visit of Sri Bhagacharya to our campus. It was almost a couple of years ago that our campus, both the students and the staff, had the great privilege of receiving him, though not in an official manner in this way, but had the privilege of having his presence with them here. But unfortunately, due to my illness, I was not able to be present here, and as a matter of fact, I learned of his visit, and that a very significant visit, only subsequently. I was indeed mightily sorry that I was deprived this great privilege of welcoming this great soul, and I have been looking forward since then for an opportunity when I could have the pleasure of being present here myself to welcome this distinguished man of letters and scholar. I am very happy indeed that that day has come at long last, and just about a month ago when I wrote to Sri Bhagacharya requesting him to come over to Karakuri and preside over the training college day celebration, he was very, very kind. In the most significant and unique manner, he said yes, and not merely said yes, he expressed great satisfaction in accepting our kind invitation. And just about 2 days ago, while the day was drawing nearer, while I was trying to make reassurances and get confirmation of his visit, I was very happy indeed to find him in the railway station at Madras, getting into the train, while I was getting into the compartment myself coming to Kodaikanal Road for one purpose or the other, and Sri Bhagacharya leaving for Madras en route, let me say, to Karakuri. And I should like to tell particularly the students of the training college and the associate institutions, and more so generally the students of all our institutions in this campus, that this is a very, very significant day in that such a great man had physically come over here, and the value of his personality will be realized only according to the measure of our own work, because he is one who has, not to use the word fought his way, he is one who has built up his reputation by his own hard intellectual work, by his own integrity of purpose and high moral standards, and by rare scholarship. And we must indeed feel happy that it has been given to you, particularly my young friends, to have had the privilege of having darshan, as it were, of this great man, Sri Bhagacharya. Friends, I need not recount all the great activities of this great man and the manner in which he has come up to the great position which he now so safely occupies in the Council of India. He is one who has, by his own, as I said a little earlier, built up a great and coveted position in the world of bar, in the field of legal knowledge, and he came up to the top, and thereafter he became a judge of the Madras High Court, and little later he was chosen for the Federal Court, an honor for which the most eminent sons of India would have coveted and would have very much longed for. But that is an honor which came to Sir Bhattacharya, not by his teaching, but by his own conduct and by his own work. He occupied this position for quite a number of years, and thereafter, Government of India, naturally being alive and being aware of the great potentialities for good and for scholarship of this great man, chose him for one after the other, chose him to occupy, to preside over the Pay Commission and later of the Income Tax Investigation Commission. The great position he has occupied and the manner in which he has discharged his duties, both naturally more than the satisfaction of government, he has discharged those duties to his own inner satisfaction. Because, friends, you will realize that it is easy enough to please another man, but to please yourself, and particularly for one with high moral ideals and lofty ideals, to please himself is the most difficult thing to do. It has been said by Swami Vivekananda that a man is afraid of one person in the whole world. He is longing for everybody's company, but not for his own company. He is terribly afraid of himself, because when one sits alone in a corner of his room and sort of introspects and starts thinking within himself, then his better or his fouler nature comes forward and naturally he is fighting. So it is most difficult, it is almost impossible to please oneself. And that is the kind of standard and conduct which Sarasvaracharya set before himself. And when I tell you that he has satisfied himself, you may take it that he has satisfied not merely the people, but the government of India and the entire community as well. And he has been a great judge. And when I say judge, a great jurist as well. And I should like to tell my young friends that it is not enough to be a great judge. It has been said, those of you who have read English literature and must have had occasion to come across this phrase, one must be like Caesar's weight above suspicion. Caesar's weight above suspicion. It is not enough one is pure, but what is more important is one must set up a tradition, set up a reputation for honesty, for purity. Because it is only by that reputation that one sort of gives the confidence generally to the public about the integrity of one individual. So friends, here is a judge who has held very high positions, who has satisfied his conscience, who has satisfied the community, and much more so, he has set up a very high and coveted reputation, position of which anyone in the country could be proud of. It might be of little interest, of some great interest to many of you to know that while I as a young boy in Madras was reading both in my high school and later in my college course, I have heard it said from my Chettiar friends and many advocate friends in Mylapore that here was one individual, Sarasvaracharya, who had the courage, who had the supreme and rare courage to decline dreams whenever he thought the moral values of those dreams he was not satisfied with. I should just like to ask you, are there many individuals today in the country who particularly when everyone, whether in business or in profession, when everybody is anxious to make some money one way or the other, is there any number of people who will decline a brief, particularly when it is one's profession to plead for another man? We might easily satisfy our conscience by saying, after all, I am not associating myself with the sin or with the wrong of the other person, I am only pleading his case as a lawyer. But here is one who not merely did his work as a lawyer, but much more so, he said to himself, I shall not handle a case if I can help it, particularly a case with whose moral values I am not satisfied with. Friends, we often hear of the great phrase that we are now living in a world one day, between one dead and the other powerless to be born. The great world of yesterday with its high moral tradition and the great heritage, particularly as far as India is concerned, for which India is rightly famous, that world is unfortunately almost dead. And the new world, the world of the Western civilization, which is coming up in various other parts of the world, that civilization has not yet dawned in the proper manner as far as India is concerned. So we are living in a world, as Wordsworth said, between one, the world with one dead and the other powerless yet to be born. But here is an individual, Sarasvavacharya, who has the greatest conviction in the values of the old order, which has not yet passed as far as he is concerned, and yet who is alive, who is keenly alive to the great ideals of the modern outlook. One who tries to blend in himself all the values which are best in the old heritage of ours and the values of the new civilization. And here is Sarasvavacharya, a living example of that happy blend of the old culture and the new and yet and modern outlook. Friends, I am merely trying to repeat to you once again this very, very solemn and solid truth. Particularly my young friends who are naturally anxious to build up a career for themselves, who often tell themselves that it is not possible to come to climb up to great heights if one sticks to moral values, if one is from India's heritage. I want to tell them particularly that here is a man who has occupied, who has reached the highest position of the country, not by any terrible seeking of that particular power or position, but things which have come in their own turn to him. They have been waiting for him to accept and adorn. And both Government of India and the community are deeply alive to this great value which so happily blends in this great individual, Sarasvavacharya. So I am appealing to my own friends to take a leaf, as it were, from the life of Sarasvavacharya and take courage and have faith in themselves that if they stick to proper ideals, if they have a mind to learn from the pages of the past and also learn from the discoveries of the future, it will be a very great day indeed for them, and they need not at all feel depressed in any manner. As far as I am concerned, the life of Sarasvavacharya has always been a source of great inspiration to me, because I am not revealing any great truth when I tell you that I have often been attempting to do this and to do that, and occasionally when one is beset with such objectives, one is often clouded with certain things that one is faced with. And I said to myself, if Sarasvavacharya, by sticking to certain ideals to which he has stuck all these years, and yet he could come to the highest position by sheer dint of intellectual effort and by the values of his character, it should be possible for others to take a proper sort of a lesson from his life. And as I said, he is a source of living inspiration both to me and many friends whom I know very well. Friends, it might be of some interest to you to know that he was so closely associated with a great man who is unfortunately today no more, Sir C.S. Sivaswami Iyer. As reference has been made in the addresses that have just been read, Sarasvavacharya is so closely associated with the two institutions, one at Madras, the other at Tirukattapalli, institutions which were founded by the great man Sir C.S. Sivaswami Iyer. It was said of Sir C.S. Sivaswami Iyer, after a long and distinguished career, while he retired, perhaps even before he was 60, after being Advocate General, after being Council Member and so on, after he retired, though he lived almost for a quarter of a century thereafter, he never for one moment thought of entering back forever what is called the public life of getting a job, of serving this or serving that. He retired for good. It was said by, it is said often by many others, particularly they said in Trichu of a particular friend whom I know, it was said, she retired for good. She did not retire for good, but she retired and then came back not for the good of the world, but for the goods of the world. That is the way in which people retire. But here the Sarpisa Samaya, who retired for good of the world and developed an aptitude for intellectual study and built up a career of which anyone, even a young student, could be proud of. And that was a great ideal of our friend Sarasvata Chal. Friends, after paying my humble tribute to our distinguished guest, Sarasvata Chal, I have naturally to say a word or two about our training college. I am indeed happy to say that this training college was started almost the third year after our arts college started in 1947. This college started somewhere in 1950. It was just one day while Mr. D. S. Reddy, the then director of public instruction, came over here on a visit. He casually told me, what about starting a training college? I had so much confidence and regard for him, I immediately said yes without even going into the financial aspects of such a problem. And the college was started. It was started in the first year, even the Arts College building, and later on it was shifted to its own habitation. That college, which owes its genesis to the advice of Mr. D. S. Reddy, the college was inaugurated by the great educationist and scholar Dr. C. R. Reddy. I have said perhaps to some of my student friends sometime earlier that while Dr. C. R. Reddy inaugurated the training college, he said, and these are the remarkable words, he said, I was just reading through certain papers given to me by the college authority, and I find a sentence, and the sentence is this. Dr. Arunabhijiyar stated that before Pandit Nehru, when he came over here in 1948 for the Electrochemical Foundation Stone ceremony, he said, I had told Pandit Nehru, and I also said in a public speech here, that the magnetic equator passes through correctly, and so I was told by my knowledgeable friends of science. And Dr. C. R. Reddy, the great man who had a reputation for his turn of the phrases, he said, it is not the magnetic equator passing through correctly or not, and he said, I am a sufficient physicist to check up the statement of Dr. Arunabhijiyar. He said, I know this much, it is not the magnetic equator that drops passing through Karakuri, the rock Pandit Nehru to Karakuri, with the magnetic personality of Dr. Arunabhijiyar that brought Pandit Nehru to Karakuri. Friends, that is how this college is inaugurated by our distinguished and now lamented statesman and scholar, Dr. C. R. Reddy. Friends, the position that the Guru occupies and occupied in the setup of Indian social life and Indian cultural life is something of which everyone is aware and should be aware. He occupied the highest position, and I consider it my singular privilege and good fortune to be able to afford an opportunity by which the teacher trainees could be trained in this college campus along with the training of students. Expressed in algebraical or mathematical language, this BT College, the training college, could almost be called a student choir, because it is, we are training teachers to teach the students later on. And I am very happy indeed that this college is now under the able stewardship of my good and revered friend, Mr. Gorakhana Moralia. He has built up a reputation for himself by hard, solid work which he has put up in Chindadar Pet Madras, and I am very happy indeed that he is now occupying the position of the head of the institution. Not merely the training college, but the model school, the elementary school, and the Montessori school. There are various tiers, as it were, to this training college. And all these institutions are under his happy and nourishing care. I am sure, as they are brought up by our good friend, Mr. Gorakhana Moralia, and blessed as they will certainly be by our eminent jurist, Sarvacharya, they have a very great future. And I have very great happiness indeed in welcoming Sarvacharya, not merely on my behalf, but on behalf of all the institutions in this campus, and requesting him to bless the students now, but what is more, to keep us ever in his thoughts, because I am sure to be in the thoughts of great and eminent men to ease definitely to be assured of good fortune, because good wishes and happy and goodwill from friends carry us much farther and much longer than material things can ever do. Friends, I have now very great pleasure in welcoming Sarvacharya. Thank you.